This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.
Earl said he can stand a lot of pain. He's been married over 50 years.
52 years?
Yeah. That's stand a lot of pain.
Well, you heard. We never had an argument. You heard that.
That's
last
right.
Week.
Yeah, you weren't allowed to say anything.
No.
No, the woman that asked me, you weren't here, but the woman asked me, says, "You've been married 52 years and never had an argument?" I said, "Never, never." She said, "How come?" I said, "Well, on a honeymoon, we went to London on a honeymoon." And I said, "52 years later, I went back and got her."
Yeah. So, and said, if she don't watch her P's and Q's, you're going to take her back. Said, it's not worth an argument, right?
Watch over the spur.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so grateful and thankful to you that we can gather in the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and share your word, learn of you, and go forward with your glorious word, being a great example in the name of Jesus to God's glory. Help us to be a great witness to your cause, to your kingdom, Father, that we walk in your word in Jesus' glorious name, and our families will too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. Romans 15, we're going to start at verse 1. Everybody ready? We who are strong ought to bear with the failings, and the frailties of the tender scruples of the weak. In other words, babies in Christ. And not to please ourselves. Let each one of us make it a practice to please or make happy his neighbor for his good and for his true welfare, to edify him, that is, to strengthen him and to build him up spiritually. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches and abuses of those who reproached and abused you fell on me. So Christ took the reproaches of everybody. For whatever was thus written in former days was written for our instructions, that by endurance and the encouragement drawn from the Scriptures, we might hold fast to the cherished hope. And now may the God who gave the power of patience, endurance, steadfastness, and who supplies encouragement grant you to live in such mutual harmony, in such full sympathy with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus. So what is he basically talking about?
I don't know.
We ought to lift each other up. We ought to encourage each other.
That was too easy.
That was just too easy.
Can you read that again?
Okay, yeah.
No, please don't. Let me read it.
You want to read it? Go ahead and read it.
No, I want Ryan to read it because it's his turn. And now I get the next slide.
Well, no, wait a minute.
Because this reads a lot better.
Okay. Well, go ahead and read it then.
Okay. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. So, you know, you said that we ought to pick up the babes like that. Mm-hmm. But it's infirmities of the weak. And dick a babe, infirmities, a lot of different things of the weak, not learn, babes in Christ, a lot of different things. But then it said, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Not a lot of people try to please a neighbor when they're calm and all like that, but let's please them to God's good. And if you don't feel on your heart to do something for your neighbor, don't do it. There's nothing that says you got to do it. When the Lord puts it on your heart, do it, then the Lord gets glorified and the gratification.
But still treat people with respect.
I'm not saying that. You should all treat everybody. Yeah. You do unto others as you end up doing to you.
Absolutely.
For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproach of them that reproach thee fell on me. And that's what he's talking about, Christ there. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, the law, were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So everything that's written in the law is for us, that we might have hope and understanding. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus. So I think the last one was the biggest one of them all, that now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus. Because Christ Jesus, he is the one that really went through it. And of course it said in verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself. So there's a lot of times we've got to do something that we're doing for somebody else, and it's not convenient for us right then. But there's another scripture that says, you be instant in season and out of season. So sometimes the Lord puts on, just do it.
Just do it.
I ain't got time. I ain't got time. Just do it. You'll be glad later. And sometimes you have to do it.
And to tell you the truth, I had somebody call me up about 2 weeks ago, 9 o'clock at night, wanted me to drive to Smyrna to help them out. And I didn't even think about it. And I said, okay, I'll do it. So I had to run up there, follow them so that they could come back. They had to drop the car off. Anyhow, so I did it. And then tonight, I had a situation come up where I needed a ride to come back from Firestone out near the mall, to come back here, and I called them up, and they could do it. So we sort of swapped favors, but you never know how it works out.
Suppose you thought, no, I ain't going to do it. It's time for my bid.
Yeah.
And then you say, I can't call him.
If you call him now, talk about ice, I would have been in bed.
If you want no engine on the bed, you ain't going on.
I would have been underneath the sheets.
Yeah. But what I mean.
But I never answered the phone because it wouldn't hurt.
No. Yeah.
But I mean, that's basically what he's talking about here. Don't think about it. If it's in your heart to do it, do it. You know, help them.
Yeah.
It's like the verse that you said earlier. You know, you reap what you sow. You know, do unto others as you would have them do to you.
Even if it's inconvenience for you.
If it's inconvenient.
Which is even more.
Because what goes around comes around.
There's probably more that you do that's inconvenient than there is convenient.
Right.
Yeah.
What did you say? What goes around comes around. Yeah. That's famous saying.
Yeah. Well,
it's
absolutely.
True. It's true.
Jesus said it. When Jesus was preaching one day out there, the Pharisees, he looked out and went like it. You will reap what you sow.
That's right.
So you better watch what you sow.
Yeah, that's
it. You know, if you sow corn, you ain't getting soybeans. And if you sow weeds, you ain't getting corn.
If you do, you better hang on to them seeds.
Well, if you sow weeds, something wrong with you.
Well, a lot of ungodly people sow weeds. I knew there was something wrong with him, Pop. Oh, absolutely. But knowing it myself makes it even easier to deal with.
Yeah.
But people, and a lot of church assembly people, and a lot of different kind of churches, not just one kind. But a lot of different churches, they sow weeds on other people because they'll say, well, I don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they preach against it. I heard a Presbyterian preacher one time preach against the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and when they're speaking in tongues, they're just blabbing, so nobody don't understand what they're saying, so why they say it? Well, it's real simple. He just took the wrong scripture and then took it out of context because it does say, they know it says, God gives them interpretation. Other times, when you pray in tongues, you're just simply praying to God. It ain't nobody else's business.
I always tell them, if it's not in the scriptures, it's not there.
Yeah. And it is scripture.
So when
somebody says, well, healing's not for today, excuse me, you tell somebody else, because I've seen people with cancer get healed.
All kinds of things.
Yeah.
Well, what does it mean when it says Jesus same yesterday, today, and forever?
That's what it means. That's just what it means.
That's just what it means.
Healing and everything.
That's right.
Today, as it was in Jesus.
You got it.
Yep.
Okay, Ron.
Says God to change his mind.
I like that first verse where it says, and not to please ourselves.
That's it. Because a lot of times when people ask you to do things, it's not convenient.
Yeah, but for a moment, you got to say, this is about them, not me.
That's it.
It's about him, not me.
That's right.
Not me.
It is about him, you know, Christ. It is about Christ, but it's also about everybody here, because
what a Christ that's in you.
Christ came for the lost here.
Sure.
So when we go out into the world, our mission is to go out and touch hearts,
point them to Christ,
and point them to Christ. Right. That's it.
So I say it's him. I mean, now the Christ that's in you, the hope of glory. But if you go around and say it's about him, not me. You said, wait a minute. You can't say it's about him, not me, because they don't know what you're saying. But you said, about the Christ that's in me.
That's right.
That's when you're going like that. So I go, it's about him, not me.
Yeah. That's it. Okay. Ron, 6 through 10, please.
That you may be with one mind, one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people.
Okay, so now he's taking it one step further, and he's saying, okay, Jews, this is not just about you. This is about everyone. All those lost Gentiles out there, they're in this party too. Okay? So the seeds that you sow are not just to the Jews, but they're also to the Gentiles. And the same blessings that came on the Jews that got saved can also fall on the Gentiles to get saved.
Yeah, because now, according to the Bible, now,
yeah,
the scripture says, real simple, there's no difference between Jew, Greek, and Gentile.
That's it.
In Christ. In Christ.
Yeah.
It said you're a Christian, you're a Christian brother and sister in Christ.
Yeah.
It's not talking about the Jewish nation, the Hebrew nation as Israel, or the Greek nation as the Greek, or American as a Gentile, or anything like that. It said, there ain't no difference. You're brothers and sisters in Christ. It said you need to act like brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yep.
Yeah. Whosoever will.
Whosoever
that's right.
will. That's right. Absolutely right. So anybody can receive the word, and anybody can get saved.
Reject it.
Yeah, and you have the right to reject it if you wish.
Jew
or
Gentile
or whatever. Now, we don't recommend that they reject it, but...
No, when I say that...
But they have the free will to do that if they wish.
Yeah, it's as personal as it can get. It's your choice.
Yep.
And God keep making it more personal than that.
Because this is really all about a relationship between you and Christ.
Oh, absolutely.
See, it's not like between somebody and Phil in Christ, or somebody and Ron in Christ. This is about an individual's relationship directly with Christ.
Right. Well, you know, when you said a while ago, you took that guy to Smyrna.
Yeah.
At 9 o'clock at night, and then tonight you needed a ride, and of course we know the scripture says you reap what you sow.
Yeah.
But it says in Luke, when it's talking about giving, it says you give, and it shall be given unto you.
Yeah.
Press down, shaking together, shall be given in your bosom. So you give him a ride,
yeah.
You give, and he gives. Now, if you don't give, you lock yourself out from receiving, because the people are going to say, oh, that guy's so selfish, he's so cheap, he wouldn't give you the sweat off his brow.
Yeah.
You know, and I ain't doing nothing for him. You know, I mean, you send that reputation out that you ain't doing nothing for nobody else, and people say, I ain't doing nothing for him.
That's right.
He never appreciates
you cut yourself
anything you do
off.
For him.
That's right.
Yeah.
You might be planting a seed, too, when you do that.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying, that's the attitude that comes back when you do that, generally. But if the Lord puts it on your heart, even do something for somebody, don't do nothing for him, because then the Bible says you're putting hot coals on his lips then, you know, so you're burning him, and we're going to make him think about, why'd he do that for me? Why would he do that for me? I never done nothing good for him. All I did was spiteful to him.
Yeah.
And it will soften them to where they can hear the gospel.
Yeah.
But if you go do that on your own, it ain't going to work.
That's right.
You got to do it when the Lord puts it on your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's giving is when the Lord puts it on your heart because you're a child of God, and that's giving. If it's financially, materially, or spiritually, scriptures, things like that, you give out of abundance of your heart. You give out of there. You don't give out of abundance of your material, because sometimes you might not handle material, but you still give out abundance of your heart.
Yeah.
And that's what the Lord wants you to do. He wants you to give whatever you give from your heart. Don't give with intentions of giving back. I talked to people and said, and the scripture clearly says, give and it shall be given unto you. Mm-hmm. I talked to people and says, I give to get. And I said, not me. I give to give.
That's it.
The other part of that is God's guarantee back to you.
Yeah.
That it's going to come back to you. But if you give to get,
You lost
that
it,
reputation.
Lost
that reputation
right
will follow you too. And the reason he gave you something because he wants something back from you. It's going to be worth more than what you gave. He gave you.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say, "Well, I'm not going to give him nothing because he didn't give me nothing."
Right.
Yeah,
give to get. All you get is a reward. I mean, your reward is just what you get here.
What you got?
There's nothing up in heaven.
That's right. That's right. But that's why you plant seeds, and that's why you do things to help people.
Sure.
Because it's not that you want credit for anything.
No.
It's that
you
God works.
Promote Christ.
It works. And it lifts up Christ and shows you that in giving, there are blessings in it.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? But you don't do it to be blessed.
Right.
You do it
you
because it's the right thing.
You get blessed because you gave.
That's right.
You don't give to get.
Yeah.
But you receive because it's God's word that he says, if you give.
Yeah.
He said, if you give.
Yeah.
He don't say, if you give to get.
That's right.
You get this back. He said, if you give, it shall be given unto you.
Yeah.
And Jesus told Peter, said, oh, you have houses and everything. In this life, the Christian should not be poor.
Yeah.
Not a Christian.
Christian should not
that
be poor.
That studies the word.
Yeah.
If they walk.
That's the secret.
Yep.
You got to study the word. You got to put your mind.
There it is. You got
to. Because all the answers are there.
It's like you, when you're born again.
Yeah.
It says everything is new.
Yeah.
But not your mind.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Well, that's why you renew your mind by the infilling of the word.
That's something you got to do. It's your responsibility.
That's right.
Yeah.
And as we see here, you know, well, here we're going to get down here in a little bit, and we're going to see a verse. You know, I commonly talk about walking the walk, not just talking the talk. Well, you'll actually see Paul tell him to do that.
Yeah.
There are a few verses.
He might have to write down and over for you.
Okay.
The Bible says you guard your heart with all diligence.
Yes.
For out of it comes the issues of life.
Yeah.
That's it.
You're not telling somebody else to do it for you or God to do it.
You do
it. You got to do it.
You do it.
It's your responsibility.
Yep.
Nobody ain't going to heaven for you and nobody ain't going to hell for you.
Right. You got it.
It's all on you. Yep. Yep. It's your choice.
Okay. We got down to 15, didn't we?
11.
11. That's right. 11. Thank you. Okay. Pete, 11 through 15.
And
please.
Again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. That's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God.
Then what is he telling him? He said, I give you the word so that you can grow and blossom. Isn't that what he just said? I mean, in simple terms, I give you the word so that you personally can grow and blossom.
And he's telling this to the Gentiles.
Yes.
Here, he's telling us that Christ came for you also, not just the Jews. Because
right.
The people say all the Jews are God's favorite people. No, the righteous are God's favorite people.
That's right.
The Jews is only the tribe of Judah. It's not the Hebrews. All because there was a tribe of Benjamin, Joseph, and on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
But Jesus came out of the tribe of Judah. The word Judah was changed and shortened to the word Jew. That's why they say Jesus was a Jew. That's why they said they're Jew. All Jews are Israelites, but all Israelites are not Jews.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that one tribe is, that came out of Judah. And he said that's, Jesus came out of the tribe of Judah. And that's what it's saying. He says, so you Gentiles, he came for you. He didn't only come for the Jews. He didn't only come for the Hebrews. He said he came for anybody that wants to accept him.
Okay.
And I want to say something else too.
Okay.
Paul said, I am also persuaded of you, my brother, that you are also full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and able to admonish one another. He said, whatever comes against you guys, you have the knowledge and understanding, and you had the grace of God, you have all the goodness, that you can settle most of your own situations among yourselves, and you don't need no outsider, ungodly people, like judges and all,
yeah,
to settle your case.
Yeah.
He said, you got all you this knowledge and all this self. Goodness in you. Is there's nothing that you shouldn't be able to straighten out amongst yourself. And he said, every time I do something for that guy, he never appreciates it. He still says it's not enough. And he would say, well, if you don't feel in your heart to do it, don't do it.
Okay. Papa, 16 through 20, please.
That I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore I have reason to glory in Jesus Christ in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed, to make the Gentiles obedient, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Iconium I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation.
Okay, let's go back to uh, 18. It says, for I will not venture or pursue to speak thus of any work except what Christ has actually done through me to win obedience from the Gentiles by work and deed. What is he saying? He says that I walk the walk and talk the talk. Right? He says, I win them because I do the things that Christ has called me to do. See, how did he win the Gentiles? Through the word and through the deed.
And he's preaching the foundation of Christ laid.
That's right.
Yeah, he's not stepping out of it because he said, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ had not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. He said, if it's not of Christ, I won't speak it.
Yeah.
And so he said, I'm walking in that, I'm talking in that, I'm singing that, like I said up here in verse 9, he said, I'll sing to thy name. And Paul said in another place, he says, I speak in tongues more than y'all, and not being boastful or proud when he said it. He said, I sing in the Spirit, I pray in the Spirit, you know, I worship in the Spirit. He said, so he said, I'm singing in tongues, I'm praying in tongues, I'm worshiping in tongues. He said, I do it more than y'all, but he's telling, you can do it. That's what it's for. He said, that's what makes you come close to God. He said, that's what makes you have an intimate relationship. See, a lot of people preach this, and probably everybody's heard it. It's saved, sanctified, and filled. Have you ever heard that from your old Baptist preachers? When they tell you about saved, sanctified, and filled, you already know one?
I have heard it,
yes. Yeah. Well, that's wrong. It's saved, filled, and then sanctified. If you don't get the Word of God in you to fill you up, what's in there to sanctify you? You can't get sanctified without the Word.
You won't have any victory without the Word.
No. So what I understand is, the more you learn of the Word, the more you keep the flesh under control.
It's just like Joyce Myers was saying, like when the devil tempted Jesus when he was in the wilderness, Jesus said, it is written, it's written. He didn't rebuke him or anything.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said that, because I say that a lot.
But Joyce Morris said, if he didn't know the Word, he'd have been in a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
He said so.
And he was the Word, so he had
He was the Word like that.
Yeah.
She was saying it.
There's a lot of people that goes around and saying, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and I'm not telling them that if they feel that on their heart to the Lord, and they need to rebuke
Well, Jesus
the
said, get thee behind me, Satan.
Right, but what I'm saying is, in the Old Testament, the angel of God, when he come down to answer Daniel's prayers, he said, "Saint, the Lord rebuke you."
Yeah,
the Lord rebuke you. And when Satan came to Jesus, it just like Noah said, Jesus didn't say, "I rebuke you, Saint." He was rebuking him when he said, "It is written."
It is written.
It is right.
That's the rebuke of Saint. When you stay in the Word, Saint rebuke. That's why it says, "Submit yourself unto God." resist the devil. That's what Jesus did. He was so completely submitted unto God. He resisted the devil. And the devil will flee from him. Jesus didn't get up and say, well, I'm getting out of here. If you're going to stay here, devil, I'm getting out of here. No. He said, the devil will flee from you. So Satan flee from Jesus.
Yeah, but a lot of people, they say, resist the devil and he'll flee. But that's only half of it.
That's right.
First it says you got to submit to God. Then
the devil is always on the rebound.
Yeah, he's always trying to get a foothold again.
Just like George Morris said, and Jesus, when Satan tempted him, he said he answered him immediately. He said he didn't wait no 3 days to give him an answer. He answered immediately. And that's what said Jesus said. That was said Jesus said.
Yep. Yeah. And Satan fled. Jesus stayed.
Yep.
And you know, as far as the flesh, Satan offered the flesh part of Jesus a pretty good deal. And if what I'm saying is, first the offer said, look, you hungry, man. You've been fasting 40 days. If you really be the Son of God, you turn that stone into bread. And then he said to him after that, he said, I'll tell you what. If you'll serve me, he showed you all the kingdoms of the world. He said, if you serve me, if you bow down to me, he said, I'll make you charge over all these kingdoms.
Bow down to
now,
me one time.
How many people have sold out
for far less?
For a few bucks. Just a few bucks.
Killed people.
And he was going to give me the kingdoms of all the known world, the big kingdoms. Man, I'll make you charge over. Mm-hmm. Now, you tell somebody that today in the flesh, a lot of them would serve Satan.
That's right.
They sell their soul, and that's still cheap because eternity is forever.
That's right.
Hell don't have no exit. And then he turned around and told Jesus again. He said, well, you know, if you're going to be in the scriptures like that, you'd be everything the scriptures say. You know, there's another scripture that says, hey, man, go over there and jump off the pinnacle of the temple, because the scripture says that if you fall, you won't even dash your foot against a stone, because the angels will bound you up, they'll catch you. And Jesus said, again, he just said, hey, you don't tempt the Lord thy God. He said, the scripture says, you don't tempt the Lord thy God. And Satan tried to get him a part of the scripture, just like he did Adam and Eve. He said, oh, has God said? That wasn't part of scripture. But he asked Eve with a question mark, you know, oh, has God said? Well, evidently, possibly, she didn't know. So Adam knew, he was right there.
But at the first, he said, take this fruit. She said, no, God said, no, we can't do that.
Yep.
And he kept talking.
And so they said, has God said? Said, oh, but that's going to make you smart as God.
He worked on her mind.
Yeah.
So eventually then she started thinking about what the devil said.
Yeah.
And that's when she
died. That's when
Jesus didn't think about it. Right. Jesus just said it's written.
Yeah. Okay, that brings us down to 21 through 25.
Can you see it okay, Ron?
Oh, you want me to read?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But as it is written, to whom he was not pronounced, they shall see. Those who have not heard shall understand. 22. For the reason I also have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, no longer having it place in these parts, and having a great desire those many years to come to you. My eyes are watering.
You want me to read it?
No.
Okay.
Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you. At first, I may enjoy your company for a while. But now I am going to learn to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. 26.
No, 25 is fine. That's it. Okay. So, he's talking about going to Spain. Now, Paul never made it to Spain. He's talking about a trip he would like to take.
Right.
Okay, but when his life comes to an end, he never did get there. Okay? And he also talked about going to Rome. Now, what he was talking about doing was going through Rome on his way to Spain, you know, and visiting all of these people along the way. Because this letter was written to Rome.
Yeah.
To his friends in Rome, okay,
and
who was in Rome? His old friends from Macedonia,
yeah,
Priscilla and Aquila, right? They were in Rome, Okay. So, anyhow, this particular trip that he's talking about never happened. Okay, but it was something that he speculated that he would like to do. Now, he does end up in Rome as a prisoner.
Yeah. Okay. Because the Lord told him to go on there.
That's right. But we're talking about two different trips here. One was hypothetical, yeah, and the other one really happened. Okay. So Rome, Paul's fourth trip, his last trip, was actually as a prisoner that he went to Rome, you know, as a prisoner on a ship. Okay. But what he's doing is just giving him encouragement to live the life of Christ and actually use the word and to live it. And it's basically what he's saying here. Use me as an example. He says, follow my words and my deeds, what I've done. And what have I done? I've used the word of God, and I've actually walked the walk, not simply talked the talk. Talk is cheap. Anybody can talk, right? But if you'll live it in front of people, then you become a real ambassador for Christ, because they really see that someone can live it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I can talk about, being Superman, but if nobody sees me stop a train or catch a bullet or anything like that, right? I mean, I'm not much of a Superman, right?
Right.
Okay? I mean, you got to sort of do the Superman thing, right? Right? Well, it's the same thing with the children of God. They're not really much of the children of God if you're not really walking it, right?
Can't just wear the cape.
You can't just wear the cape, man.
Don't want to jump off the building if you can't fly.
The costume's flashy, but man, if you ain't stopping them trains and catching them bullets and all that stuff, man, you ain't much. Ain't much of a Superman.
I'd be like Ronnie's dad. You go ahead, you can do it. You go ahead, you can do it.
Yeah, you volunteer. You can stand right out there in front of that train. So, okay. So, and that's basically what he's saying. He's saying, at some point, you're a baby in Christ, and everybody understands that you need some training and some examples set in front of you to see. But down the road, as you grow in Christ, everybody expects you to sort of stand up and start doing it yourself too, right? And that's basically what he's telling them. He's encouraging them. Okay, so now we're back to 26. In 26, it says, "For it has been the good pleasure of Macedonia and Achaia to make some contribution to the poor among the saints in Jerusalem, and they were pleased to do it. And surely they are in debt to them. For if these Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, then they ought to also be of the service to them in material things." In other words, Jerusalem has sent preachers to these towns, Macedonia and all. But it's only right that because the people in Jerusalem are in bad shape financially, those towns send money back to them. It's only fair.
My Bible right? said it was their duty.
Yeah, it was their duty. Yeah, and what he's saying is it's only fair. I mean,
it is your duty to support one another in the body of Christ and help one another.
That's right. If there's a need, you should stand up and should do it.
See, that's our problem nowadays. We're not doing that.
That's right.
That's our main problem.
Yep.
That's why not only this company, but the world's going down.
The church. Right. Gives more help faster to the needy than the government does.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The government hinders.
Yep. When they had the that storm in Florida, Louisiana, the church was there. It was Amish people was down there helping rebuild. Mennonite people was there.
Anybody that had any kind of a skill went. There was contractors from around Delaware that went down.
Yeah. Church assemblies went down.
Yep.
Pat Robinson had like 40 tractor trailers on the road immediately. Some of them is carrying chairs and tables. Others are carrying quilts, blankets and pots, pans, and little coal stoves.
Yep.
And other trailers are full kitchens.
Yep.
And others are just frozen food trailers for the kitchens. Cooking people food and all. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is there. Joe Osteen Ministries is there. The churches from all over.
And the government was bickering.
Yeah. And they couldn't get FEMA to get them a trailer. And the churches were setting up trailers down there.
Franklin Graham was big in that too.
Yeah.
And you know, you wonder why people don't see this. It's like what's
they see it, but you know what? It's just like the scripture said, where they got eyes and don't see, and they got ears and don't hear.
You wonder why this body. I just get frustrated.
When you can understand it, you can't understand why other people don't understand.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, they see what the government's doing, what little they're doing, but they still support them. It's just terrible.
Can you imagine? I said this to somebody today. I said, can you imagine somebody working for a Walmart? Getting $8 an hour. They had no pension plan. They got to buy part of the benefits. The benefits that Walmart gives them is so like this. Against, they need to. What's going to happen when that generation retires?
Well, that generation's lost.
The money they get now isn't as much as what a lot of people's getting Social Security.
Well, it's taking everything they make to live.
Yeah.
So how are they going to save?
They're getting at $8 an hour. At $8 an hour. That's $320. So that's $1,280 a month. That's not even as much as most people's getting Social Security.
Yeah.
And so when they retire, they'll get a piece of that for Social Security. They're gonna work till they drop dead.
Yep.
If they can have a job.
Yeah, you're right. Well, they're saying it's not going to be any Social Security or any others by then too.
Well, there'll be assistance, but they'll be killing the old people and the babies, so that the young people will be left in the workforce. Yeah. I'm going to retire. You sure are. We'll pick out your casket.
Yeah. All right. You were going to say something, Ron?
I was just going to say that's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. It really is sad. And people wonder why people are mad at the government. As if they don't deserve people to be mad at them. Okay, in 29, it says that I know that when I do come to you, I shall come in the abundant blessing of the gospel of Christ. 30, I appear to you, brethren, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love, the Spirit, to unite with me in earnest wrestling in prayer to God on my behalf. In other words, he appreciates you guys lifting him up to prayers.
Sure.
Right.
Well, he went back and preached to the apostles.
Yeah.
Also here when he said he went back to Jerusalem.
Yeah, he's heading back and give his account.
And to make certain contributions for the poor saints, which are at Jerusalem, and the apostles. Remember, at that time, none of the Christians owned anything of their own. They sold everything and made everything common so they could eat and have enough.
Yeah.
And it's running out because Jerusalem tightened up on us, said, you ain't getting none of this unless you come to our temple. You're outside. We ain't selling you nothing. Shun them people. Don't do no business with them people and all like that. And it was making it really difficult on them.
Yeah.
But what they didn't know, they got all their money for the land, and they bought their food and supported one another with the money that they had with out of their own treasure. And then about 8 to 10 years after Paul wrote this, Titus comes down and destroys Jerusalem. And all of them that thought they was big shots had nothing. All the Christians was out of town.
Yep.
And all the ungodly went into slavery, got in slaughter.
Yep.
So when he said that in verse 27, when he said,
so that's it. It goes back to you. Sow what you reap.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Same thing.
And when he said that, the Gentiles are made partakers of their spiritual things, which they did. Their duty is also to minister unto them in cardinal things.
Yeah.
So he said they put it all together. And Christ told them, he was the one who told us, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by the armies coming out of Rome, he said, man, get out of town.
Yeah.
And the righteous did, and the ungodly didn't. And the righteous survived, and the ungodly was slaughtered.
Yeah.
And it was so bad in Jerusalem at the time it was surrounded, that you couldn't buy, sell, or trade. they were cooking their own babies.
Yeah.
History tells you that.
Yeah.
It was cooking their babies.
Mm.
Mm. I mean, they were starving. They thought they had
to. If there's ever a lesson about listening to the voice of God and the messages of God and the wisdom of God that's come down through the leadership, that's it right there.
Ooh.
Because God warned them ahead of time that this was happening, to be ready. Says, don't wait. When you see
the first sign,
don't go back to your house. Don't do nothing. Leave.
You don't have time to go back.
Get.
Run.
Weren't they warned the same prophecy several years?
Three times. The original prophecy that was written in Matthew was actually given three times. So Christ gave the original prophecy. Okay? Matthew wrote it down, so it was shared through Matthew. That's the second time. And then there's another place where that prophecy
is. Probably Luke.
Luke or someplace in there where it's given again. So somewhere between 33, I'm guessing at the years right now, somewhere between 33 and 67 when Jerusalem was actually attacked, okay, that prophecy actually came up again, was shared through the fellowship, through the Christians in Jerusalem on three different occasions.
Oh, yeah, and well, Paul shared it right here.
Yeah.
He said, I'm taking this back to those poor people.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a Gentile, you lived outside Jerusalem, that was good. But Rome said, I had all this I can stand, I can't stand no more. Destroy them. They attacked us, and now we've got an open market on destroy them.
Yeah. So over 33 years, over 30 years roughly, in very general numbers.
Yeah, about 33, 34
so
years.
So about every 10 years, this prophecy came up again, was reissued, okay? Somebody wrote about it, so it came into the population, right? And they talked about it. So there was three warnings of the coming of the attack on Jerusalem over those 30 years. When it finally did occur, it was time to leave, right? So everybody that was related, everybody was in Jerusalem, knew this was getting ready to happen.
Well, John wrote about last in Revelation.
Yeah, maybe that was where the last one was.
And he was writing about it in Revelation and told, you ain't never seen nothing this wicked come on anybody.
Yeah.
He said, this is going to be the worst thing you ever seen.
Yeah.
He said, the blood, and he's talking about spiritual blood, he said, it's going to flow through the horse's bridle.
Yeah.
And he said, man, you're going to get drugged through this, and they got drugged through that whole valley.
Yeah.
Where what's called Armageddon. Now, they got drugged through there, slaughtered them, and just crushed them, cut them open. Yeah. Hung them on crosses, hung them upside down, and by this time, I want to
and that's where this whole discussion of Petra, the mountains, the mountains of Petra or something like that, Petra,
yeah,
Petra, that's right. When they were talking about the mountains of Petra,
that's where they went.
That's where they went. It's
the
outside of Jerusalem, right?
I think they came.
There's caves up in the mountains, and. And over this period, when these prophecies were re-talked about,
they knew where they was going to go.
Yeah, they'd been storing stuff up there.
That was my next question.
So,
how did they survive that?
Yeah. So over that 30 years, they were stashing all of this stuff up there, knowing God had given this prophecy, this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. So being wise followers of Christ, God says.
So they were
prepared. This thing is coming. You better get ready.
Yeah.
So they were prepping. And they were up in the mountains. So when everybody left, I don't care how you got out of town, we're all meeting in Petra. Right? So everybody, you know, however you leave town, book, but end up in Petra and we'll take care of you.
Yeah. We start a new city right there.
Yeah.
And a city comes because of the population. You know, I remember when I was growing up in Milford, it was a town. But then after you got 3,000 or 5,000 people, then it becomes a city.
I think it's five.
I know it was one or the other because it used to be the city of Milford. Now it's like New York City. It's a metropolitan area.
Yeah.
But it can't be a city without the population.
Yeah.
It can only be an empty metropolitan area.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened to Jerusalem. It wasn't a city after that.
After that, it was really destroyed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was probably a few vultures.
But they didn't go after him? No, what the Romans were after were the Jews.
They was after the Jews and all the goodies that was in the temple, all the gold and all the instruments of the temple.
So the Romans knew they were up there, but they never bothered.
When the Romans showed up to surround the town, as they were trying to surround the town, there was people fleeing. Okay, the Romans understood some got away.
Okay, but they weren't after them. The Romans was killing everybody they came to as they was coming to town because the Jews were ambushing the Roman soldiers.
Yeah.
Now this is on the history books of Josephus and all.
Yeah.
And he was the historian of that day for there. And he was also one of the ones that was ambushing the Romans, but he always fell through the cracks.
Yeah.
But when he was saying that, and they see this fight coming down, and the word's coming that, you know, the Jews are running back home trying to make one last stand or be protected.
Because
they never thought that the Rome would go inside of the temple.
Yeah.
But boy, they just tore that place apart.
Yeah.
But when if you hear that the army of our enemy is coming to take over Dover, and they say, well, I ain't worried about Camden. They ain't going to take Camden. If they don't have no interest in Camden, everybody's going to go to Camden. It's got any brains. There'll be some people say, nah, they ain't really coming. They say, yeah, they're in Frederica already. They said, you really think they're right? And they're going to keep on playing their card game or getting the last dance or whatever it is.
It's like the people after the hurricane's coming, you know. The hurricane's coming. No, they sit there to play cards and, you know, watch TV, you know.
Yeah.
Finally, the hurricane's right on the step.
That's what they did in New York.
They're coming to evacuate, and they don't.
And the early 1900s in Florida, they had a big monster hurricane. There was no way to say it was coming. They didn't have technology for it.
Yeah.
But what something they noticed was all the Indians left and went to higher ground and safe area. And they moved out, you know, like 3-4 days journey ahead of them. And after it was all over, now that should have been a sign. Where are they all going? Why don't you ask somebody? They didn't ask. They said, oh, look, the Indians are going, oh, good, we'll take all their land. They're leaving. You know, greed jumped in there and occupied their mind.
Yeah.
So then when the storm was all over, the Indians came back.
And took everything.
And said, why'd you leave? He said, because there's a great storm coming. So, well, how did you know there's a great storm coming? He said, the rats left. When the rats got out of town and out of areas, the swamps and all.
Wildlife, yeah.
And they knew it, and they left, and they had like 3 days to get out, and they left, and there was just tens of thousands of people that died there.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm saying that to say this, the signs are there. The gifts of the Holy Ghost was in full operation. There was a gift of wisdom, there's a gift of knowledge, there's a gift of understanding. You don't have to, you got the understanding that something bad is going to happen.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to have the wisdom to get out of town.
Use common sense.
And use good common knowledge to say, okay, we're gone. The gate to get out of town was open, and they was letting you go because they were interested in surrounding Jerusalem, so they come in this way, you're getting out that way until it's surrounded.
Yeah.
And the door probably shut when the last righteous got out of Jerusalem.
Look, man, all he saw was the smoke in the heels of his feet. Okay, let's do the last few verses here. This is Ron. Do the last few verses.
You got 3 minutes, Phil.
Yep, I know. I got to leave.
Where we quit?
Yeah, 31, please. 31 through the end.
Through 33.
That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen.
Yep. And there it is. That's a salutation. Just goodbye.
I think you were talking about the Romans coming in there and everything.
Yep.
They tore that temple down.
Oh, they set fire to it. They burned it.
Yeah.
Well, the history also says.
This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.